Matt from the Man Cave. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching with your daily devotion for May the 3rd. I know you're thinking, Matt, you gonna throw the heat? Oh, I'm not even, well, oh, it was right in the box. Hey guys, thanks for watching all the videos. Friends, if you know someone that's struggling in an area and the video that I'm doing, okay, and a topic that we're talking about is addressing a need in that person's life, why don't you shoot that video over to them? If the video is speaking to you, and I mean, it just lifts up your spirit, think what it could do for someone else who may be struggling in the same area. Post that thing, send that thing. I don't mind at all. Here's the thing. These videos aren't about me, but they're about lifting people up, helping people to stay on the straight and narrow. And friends, we all need help. Friends, I know a lot of times when I'm talking about these different things, you may not be learning something for the first time, but it's reminding you oftentimes of something that you've learned in the past, and maybe we just forgot. Today we're going to be in 1 Kings, okay? And we're looking at chapter 21, and we're looking at a totally excellent story, okay? About a guy who owned a vineyard. And it's not the story that you're thinking of that we went over last week, okay? This guy's name is Naboth, okay? And it says, this came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was near the palace. And so there's this guy named Naboth. He has this totally excellent, okay, totally awesome vineyard, but it's really close to the palace where King Ahab and Queen Jezebel live. If we were to continue reading to verse 2, here's what happens, okay? King Ahab comes down to Naboth, okay, who is the owner of the vineyard, okay? And he says, hey, you know, this vineyard's really close to my house, the palace. I know you noticed it right there, all the beautiful walls and everything. I want your vineyard. Well, watch this. Naboth says, N-O. He says, no, I'm not selling it. Okay, and Ahab throws out a big number. You know what I'm saying? As if money can buy everything. Here's the thing. Money is not going to buy someone out of principle. That's a whole nother devotion. He says, no, I'm not doing it. Okay? And you see, here's the thing. Because Ahab was so sick in his mind, okay, demented, he didn't understand the principles of God and the ways of God. He didn't understand, watch this, why Naboth was saying no. Ahab's clueless because he doesn't understand the word of God. He doesn't understand. And there's so many people out there, whole nother devotion, they don't understand the word of God and why what they are doing is so offensive to God. They have no idea. But here's the thing. When the children of Israel came in, okay, to the land that God had promised them, God gave each of them a piece of land. He said, this little section belongs to Benjamin, okay, the tribe of Benjamin. Now, within that section of land, each person got a plot of land. It wasn't too small and it wasn't too large. It was perfect for their needs. Everything they needed was on this little piece of land, okay? Naboth's land belonged to him, okay? It was given to his forefathers, which was passed down and passed down. Now, because of the law, okay, Naboth, okay, could lease it out if he became hard up for cash, okay? Meaning he was really hurting for money. They very rarely did that. But according to the law of God, he could never sell that. But here's the thing, King Ahab has no clue about it, okay? So what's Ahab do, okay? He's not used to hearing no. And what does he do? He goes home and he starts pouting. He puts his head against the wall. He's having an adult temper tantrum. As the text tells us this. He's a little spoiled brat is what he is, okay? He couldn't get his way, okay? Okay, so listen what happens. He's having an adult temper tantrum. It doesn't work with God and it shouldn't work with people, but oftentimes people use those to manipulate others to do something that they normally would not do or should not do, okay? So Queen Jezebel comes up and says, hey baby bear, what's wrong? Hey king, I want that vineyard. Naboth won't give it to me. All right, so listen here, guys. Queen Jezebel says this, aren't you the king? Can't you demand, can't you do whatever you want? And she goes basically like this. She plays, don't you worry about it. Queen's going to take care of it. Oh, right, my
verse
goodness.
Verse 7 says this, and Jezebel his wife said unto him, does not thou govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread. Let thy heart be merry. I will give the vineyard of Naboth to you. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name. Now realize this, while she's writing these letters and using his official signet ring, where's the signet ring? It's on his finger. How's she using that hand? She's grabbing his hand. Put your hand in a fist, baby. Okay, let's put your ring into the wax. Okay,
a lot of people think, well, Ahab didn't really know anything about it. He absolutely knew what Jezebel was doing. Why? Because he was married to her. Okay, he has the signet ring. It is his official signature. I mean, give me a break. Okay, all those liberal theologians trying to give, oh, poor Ahab, God's going to judge him. You know, are you kidding me? Here's the thing. Pick up your Bible, wipe off the dust, start cracking it open, read the page. changes, okay? Get convicted, repent before God before you go to hell. That's all free stuff today, guys. Hey, look at verse 9. I love it. It says, and she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast. Okay, watch this. Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people.
Verse 10 says this,
and set two men of the sons of Belial before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him. So what she's saying is have a feast going on, okay, and a fast that's going on, okay, and then there's going to be two false witnesses that are going to say aught, lies, deception. Why? Because it's really hard to get a good man. It goes back to the story of Daniel, where they couldn't find any occasion against Daniel. Why? Because he was living in the light. He was living in righteousness. He was a child of the living God, and he loved the Lord, and his life was being led that way. He was a man of integrity, and he was walking the line. And I just love those types of people in the Bible. Not to say that they're perfect, but their heart is dead set towards the things of God. They want to obey God. They have a love relationship with him, and it's real. Okay, not like the world, but it's an absolutely real relationship where they hear the still small voice of God, and there's very few men like this anymore. It's what happens, okay? Just as Jezebel wrote, okay, and the king put his signet ring in it, okay, they did exactly what was commanded, okay? So who's guilty? Ahab's guilty. Who else is guilty? Jezebel's guilty. Who else? These men who knew about it, okay? It is murder, okay? Not only is it murder, it's attempted murder, because as they were plotting it, they're all equal. Everyone that knew about it is equal in God's eyes of murder. Those are Jesus's words, okay? And so they do it, okay? They drag this poor guy, they falsely accuse him, okay? They drag him and then they stone him. Who did they do the same thing to? Jesus. Same thing. They did the same thing. They just didn't stone Jesus. They nailed him to a cross, okay? Everything they said, okay, about Naboth was lies. Naboth was a good, righteous man. He was living for the Lord. He was doing it right.
Friends, here's the thing. Don't get me started on this. You know where I'm going, okay? Verse 14. Let's just stick with the text or we'll go on a rabbit trail that we'll never come back from, okay?
Then they sent word to Jezebel saying, Naboth is stoned. He's dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and he was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. It's yours. Here you go, hubby. It's all yours. It's all yours. Blood money. Thieves. Deception. Lies. Verse 16. Listen to this. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab arose to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it.
You got to realize that Naboth had family, okay? So wouldn't they get the vineyard? Watch this, okay? Because they're real sneaky. Jezebel knows what she's doing. There's always these evil people are so deceptive, okay? That's why the pit of hell is just waiting for him. Death, hell, and the grave are all waiting to swallow these people up. So don't even give them a second thought, okay? But yeah, he did have family, okay? But watch this very carefully. Because Naboth was convicted, okay? Convicted. He didn't commit those things that they said. They lied about him, okay? But he was convicted of them. It was a capital punishment, meaning the crown could take your land, take your house, take all your stuff. They could take everything from him, okay? This was their little sneaky way of getting the stuff through the courts, basically, okay? When you go to the courts, you know the whole truth, but you're not presenting the whole truth to who? To the judge, to the courts of who you are, what you did.
I'll tell you this about what God's word, what he says. He promises these people they're going to die and burn in hell. It's just a matter of time. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Don't give them a second thought, because we all run across these types of people, okay? So Queen Jezebel, she delights that she did this. I mean, that's how evil people are. They just delight in doing evil because it comes from who they are. Ahab's no better off, okay? He's delighted to get something that doesn't belong to him. He knows what it is. Here's the thing. Ill-gotten things, the Bible says, are not pleasurable because they're a reminder of where you're going. Guys, if I just stop there, we'd be like, I can't believe that happened to this poor guy. Are you kidding me?
I'm saying verse 17.
Who's going to show up?
You know who's showing up. The voice piece of God, Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite saying,
oh man, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth. Okay, even God acknowledges it's not his vineyard. He's in the vineyard of Naboth. Elijah knew whose vineyard it was. God knew whose vineyard it was, okay? That's just a word out for all you thieves out there, okay?
I think God has such a great sense of humor. Tells Elijah exactly where to go down to. It's not Ahab's vineyard, it's Naboth's vineyard, okay?
Verse 19, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and hast taken possession
God's not mincing.
He's not mincing words, okay? Ahab is burn up his long suffering, his patience, his forbearance, okay? Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, because they stoned him. They stoned him till he bled out, and so all the dogs are licking on him, okay? So God says this, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. So he says, watch this, because I love to play on words and most people don't pick up on it. They're gonna lick your blood, even thine. He's saying it two times. Two in the Bible is confirmation. You're gonna die in a brutal death, okay? Not only that, the dogs are gonna lick your blood. The dogs are gonna lick your blood. He says it twice. So look at Ahab in verse 20. And Ahab said unto Elijah, thou found me, O my enemy. He considers, watch this, it's so funny. He considers the man of God the enemy. Isn't that crazy? Okay, the man of God is trying to help you, to save you, to get you on the straight and narrow, to tell you God's truth, okay? What's about to take place in your life, and you're calling him your enemy. Friends, anyone that enters my life that gives me the truth, that helps me to get closer to God, that is a lover of God, I love them. Even if I get rebuked, okay, from someone, okay, I don't mind, because here's the thing, if it's true, what they're saying, and if it is from God, I'm gonna apply those truths to my life. I'm gonna change, I'm gonna adjust, I'm gonna adapt, and then I'm gonna start living a life that's an overcomer life, meaning doing the things that God wants me to do. As I do those things, I'm more blessed of God and I get closer unto God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. The more like Jesus I am, the closer to Jesus I am. It's great because I feel his presence. So Elijah has a special message for King Ahab in verse 21. Maybe we should read it. What do you think? Wonder if it's okay just to murder and steal someone's stuff. You know, I wonder what God says
Behold,
about it.
I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy posterity.
And you might be saying, well, what does that mean? Meaning this, I'm not only going to kill you, I'm going to kill your children. I'm going to kill your family line. It goes on. I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall. Listen to this. God is saying this. I'm going to cut off Ahab, those who piss against the wall. And you're like, does the Bible say that? This is King James, baby. Let me tell you. What is that? That is a rebellious child following dad. And you're like, well, I thought, Matt, you got to give the whole truth. In the New Testament, Matt, it says that God's not going to hold me accountable for my dad's sins. You want me to explain that? You think that's true? That's absolutely not true. And you're like, you're saying the Bible's wrong? No, I'm not saying the Bible's wrong. That principle is true. But here's the thing, okay? Because dad, King Ahab, is leading such a reckless life, following the Baals, being evil. Are you thinking those children aren't watching that? They are going to follow in daddy's footsteps. Dad is leading them right to the gates of hell, and they are going to follow marching along, okay? And we will see that in the story, okay? Yes, God isn't going to punish those children for their dad's sins. Their children will do the same sins because of dad. He's the role model, okay? How many dads said, don't smoke? It's not good to smoke, not good to drink. What do the children end up doing? Smoking, drinking. Dad says, it's not good to look at pornography. It's not good to... What do the children end up doing? Looking at pornography. Ahab's decisions to be king, to make the choices he did every day, which were against the principles of God, the laws of God, and God's word, okay? They're going to affect all of his children. His children are going to be slaughtered, okay? You want to know what really happens? A guy by the name of Jehu comes along, and all of their heads are cut off, and they're placed in baskets in front of a city. Well, Matt, maybe he didn't have a chance to turn around. Are you kidding me? He was there on Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel's already took place. He already saw what God was capable of, what God did there, the miracles that took place. He saw it all. He heard the word of the Lord through Elijah. Okay, choose this day who you will serve. Okay? Don't have divided loyalties. If you're going to serve God, serve God. If you're going to serve the Baals, serve Baals. Guess who he chose? He chose to serve the Baals. Our decisions, fathers, have consequences, okay? Not only on our lives or our wife's lives, but our whole family, okay? Your decisions will destroy your family. If you're living a godless life, you will destroy your family. If you're living outside of this, you will destroy your family. How many times have I seen it? Thousands of times.
What ends up happening?
God destroys them.
22, I will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, meaning God slaughtered Jeroboam and he destroyed that family line. Okay, so I'm going to make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nedat, the house of Baasha. He's describing all these kings that God came in, cleaned house, okay? He had it up to here and his long suffering was in. And so God just came in and destroyed them. He didn't want any of those descendants on the throne. So he destroyed them too. Our decisions, okay, will determine our destiny, okay? We often think our decisions, this is no big deal. It's always a big deal when you're sinning against God. Listen, I said that awfully fast. It's always a big deal when you're sinning against God. Okay, it's a huge deal. Look at the sin of Achan. Read that story. Because people don't know God, they don't understand sin. They don't understand how God views sin. They don't. I mean, they just think they could do it randomly. Oh my goodness. Why did God in the Old Testament say, don't touch the mountain where I'm at? Okay, I've called Moses up. Don't you dare. See, Moses goes all the way up the mountain, okay? He's, and realize this, you're talking about a 10, 12 hour trip up the mountain, okay? God says, tell him, go back down, tell him not to touch the mountain. So he comes all the way back down, he says, don't touch the mountain or you'll die, meaning this, don't approach me, I'm holy. See, people don't understand God's holiness. They're just Mickey Mousing around in this life with sin and deception and lies and thievery and all these things, and they don't understand the holiness of God. They've built a God in their mind which they think is real. Friends, I promise you, the God that you've created in your mind is nothing like the God in the Bible. All this was written so we would understand one thing about God. He is holy, okay? He didn't want people approaching him because they could not approach him. They would die. If you touch the mountain, you're going to die. And it's the same today. The only way we have access to God is because of Christ. To pray in any other name other than Jesus is futile. And to try to come to God outside of Christ is ludicrous, okay? You are coming to a holy God that will call you on the carpet and you will be found wanting and guilty. Meanie, meanie, tekel, you farson, okay? Read that and understand what that means. You're going to be coming up short. Right, so what happens to Ahab? Does he hearken unto the word? Listen very carefully. It's very strange what happens here. In verse 27, listen to this. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes. He ripped his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, and he fasted and laid in sackcloth and walked softly before the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see, thou hast Ahab humbled himself before me. Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon him. What just took place? He humbled himself. He didn't get out of anything. And this humbling, here's the thing, if we would just read a couple more chapters, we'll realize he really didn't change. Okay, this was just an act that I got caught in the act, and I'm sorry for getting caught. Not that I'm going to change my life. I'm not giving my life to you, Lord. I'm just sorry that you called me on it. Really, that's all that's going on here, because he never changed, okay? He is, good grief, he could have changed here. He could have changed on Mount Carmel. He could have changed every time he was talking, okay, to the prophet of God. But here's the thing, his heart was hardened, and he didn't want to change. And so he's basically playing lip service, okay? He rips his clothes, puts ashes on his head. He decides he doesn't want to die is really what's going on, okay? He's hearkening unto the word of the Lord, but he just doesn't want to die, okay? He's not going to change because he continues living the same way. So what ends up happening, okay? 3 years later, how long did he get to live? People think they get away with things. A day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, okay? And a lot of people, they do stupid stuff and they think they got away with it because a year's gone by, 2 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, and then, hey, I got away with it. A day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is to a day. To God, your life is just like this. That's your whole life. So for you to get away with something for a week, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, even if you went your whole life and you open your eyes in hell, did you get away with it? I mean, really, did you get away with it? And I know there's some crazy out there who says, well, I don't believe in hell. Really? That's interesting. Jesus talked 2 times about hell, more than ever talked about heaven. And all the people that have died on deathbeds, come back, died, or died on an operating table, and they talk about the flames, they talk about the demons, they talk about the gates, they talk about the weeping and gnashing of teeth, they talk about the smell. I'm always interested in the smell of sulfur and ashes and the screams and the moaning. That's always interesting. All these different things that people are describing, and you say there isn't such a thing. Friends, there are millions of people who have died on the operating table and started walking their way down to the gates of hell with the demons, okay, only to scream out, God save me, or something happened and they came back to life. Friends, that is a defining moment right there in their life. Do you know, more than not, give their lives over to Jesus Christ, and they walk away from the foolishness that they had joined themselves up to in this world.
Because they were told a farce. They were told a lie. They were told a deception that you could live like this, that you could join this, that you could be a part of this, and you're going to be okay. Friends, here's the thing. The people that die on the operating table, what they're experiencing is absolutely real. Okay, I know the psychologists said, well, they're kind of out of it. Are you kidding me? Give me a break. I know there's someone out there saying, so he got away with it, huh, Matt? He got the vineyard? He got the vineyard, but did he really get the vineyard? Friends, here's the thing. What do you get out of a vineyard? You get grapes. What are the grapes? You make grape juice, wine. You know what I'm saying? Do you think he ever enjoyed drinking that wine? He was drinking damnation, and he knew it. He never, see, it was fouled. It was blighted. It didn't have the same allure. See, sin was saying, oh, you want this. It's the nicest vineyard. Friends, do you realize that Ahab, out of every 12 pieces of property in Israel, the kingdom owned 10? See, here's the thing. If you're not in right relationship with God, the whole world isn't enough. Okay, because nothing's going to make you happy. You're not going to be satisfied. Just did a devotion the other day. You know what I'm saying? Talking about what if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul. Watch that. It's very interesting, okay? But watch this. He could have had everything, and he wants what he can't have. It's always like that with men who are evil. People are going to hell. They want what they can't have. You know why they want what they can't have? Because they think, if I just have that, that will make me happy. That will fill the void in my life. And nothing fills the void in your life. So you're like, well, Matt, did he get away with it? No, 3 years later, he dies. An arrow goes right through his heart. He closes his eyes in death. He opens his eyes in hell. Did he get away with it? I don't know. Would you trade your life for 3 years? Because that's what he did. I mean, think about it. What if someone said, hey, I'll give you the riches of the world, but you only have 3 years to live before God's going to judge you? Would you do it? And you're like, no, some of you have. It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. Did he get away with it? No. An arrow, a random arrow, went straight through his armor, straight through his heart, and he dies. The dogs licked his blood there. What about his descendants? Exactly as God spoke it through Elijah, okay? His older, which was the king, okay? He dies by the sword, okay? Because the anointing was on a guy named Jehu, and he slaughters one of his sons. And here's the thing. His body, guess where the body was thrown? In the vineyard of Naboth, okay? And the dogs licked his blood. What about Queen Jezebel? Did she get away with it? Nope. Jehu comes up. Who's on my side? If you're on my side, throw Jezebel down. She was all made up. Listen very carefully because the story is so great. She understands Jehu's coming in. She thinks she's going to sweet talk him and be deceptive like she's done her whole life, okay? So she puts up all, the Bible says, she puts on all this eyeliner, all this makeup, and she's going to sweet talk. Friends, judgment day came. The day of the Lord came, okay? Jehu calls up. He says, who's on my side? If you're on my side, throw her down head first, okay? She comes down head first. Blood splatters everywhere. Jehu goes into the palace. He starts chowing. You know what he says? Hey, she was a wife. Go ahead and bury her. They go out to bury her. There's nothing left. The dogs devoured her. There was only bones left, and they were eating them. And they come back, and they say, Jehu, there's nothing left of her, man. I mean, there is absolutely nothing left. The dogs devoured her. There isn't an ounce of flesh on her. They just ate her up, okay? And you know what Jehu says? That was the word of the Lord spoken through Elijah. I know a lot of people, they're like, well, man, how would I apply a story like this to my life? Look at the story, just it describes itself, okay? It kind of unfolds itself. I mean, we can apply these truths. It never pays to be deceptive, to be a liar, to want something that someone else has, okay? It never pays to murder, because God says those people automatically goes to hell. Those people who scheme, okay? You don't want to be a part of any of those things. And all the things I'm describing, and all the things that you saw Jezebel doing and Ahab doing, they're punishable by death, and they're punishable by eternal damnation. That's what the thing is. You want to run away from these types of people, okay? And yes, we will come across some of these people within our lives. God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. They really haven't gotten away with anything. See, I've never found a story in the Bible where someone was acting this way where they got away with it. It's only a matter of time before God brings it, okay? A day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is to a day. It may not be on your time schedule, and God oftentimes will wait till you're out of the scene where he has already healed you of the atrocity that has taken place in your life. He wants to make sure, as a child of God, that you're okay, okay? He already spoke into words. See, when God speaks, he speaks in light of eternity. They already have a death sentence, a curse upon them and their children, because here's the thing, their children are following in their steps, okay? And again, another warning is just this. Men, you got to be godly, and you need to live those lives before Almighty God. You absolutely have to live the life that God is requiring of you. And here's the thing, as a child of God, God expects from you. Children that are children of the living God, they live a certain way before their master. Not legalistic, okay? And I'm not trying to earn salvation. I'm just living different differently because I'm a king's kid, okay? Who I am, I'm going to heaven. I'm spending eternity with my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my God, okay? Because I know in the man cave, there's probably some men watching this, okay? Your children are adults and they are living like you did earlier on. What are you to do? Because now God's gotten a hold of you, okay? And you're drawing nigh to God. You're getting closer to God, but you notice that your children are going in the same footsteps that you were living earlier, okay? What you need to do is go to God, ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, I was not the father that I should have been. I was doing this and this and this and this, and I'm not doing those things anymore, but I need your help. See, God can fix it, okay? We always go to God. God is our source. So we go to God and we lay out our petition. We lay out our request. We again say, Lord, this is how I was living. And my son is doing the same thing. He's walking in my footsteps where I want him to walk in your footsteps, okay? Confess that before God and let God handle it, okay? And continue to praise him. He'll take over. I hope you like this story. This is Matt from the Man Cave.